saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear." And then Jesus says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered. 'Because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them.' Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." That's the reading. Portions from Matthew 13. Friends, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would minister to us through your word, that you would speak to us, that you would bring to our memory those passages we have read, those words that are implanted in our hearts, that they may bring forth fruit and that your kingdom may be advanced, that we will see clearly the opportunities you set before us, and that we will walk the path you call us to walk in this world, that we will make a difference for the kingdom of heaven because of the difference that you make within us. In Jesus' name we pray. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, we are told that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we were able to behold Him, able to see Him, able to see that God had put on flesh and had become one of us in Christ Jesus. We are reminded that Jesus was the Son of Man. He was fully human. He was fully flesh and blood. But Jesus was also the Son of God. Jesus had come with a mission that would involve a cross. But along the path, along the way, he told stories, stories of the kingdom. We're told that he taught in parables and that he really didn't teach the multitudes without phrasing it in that simple setting. Those stories, those homespun stories, if you will, that would strike a chord in each one, and especially those who got it, said, "I know what he's talking about." Of course, oddly enough, the ones who should have gotten it the most quickly are the ones who ask most quickly, interpretation, please. A little help here, Lord. The skull is a little bit thick, you know. I know you're trying to say something. I know you're trying to get something across to us, but just what are you trying to say here? Oh, he taught many things, and the one we've read, the parable of the sower or of the soil, and the parable of the weeds. There are so many others. Yes, we are reminded that we are different kinds of soil, that God plants the same word, that the same opportunities for hearing come to us, that God reaches to all of us in some fashion and tries to help us to see and to understand. Some are people with hardened hearts who have no time for God, who have no time for the Word. Some are those who really want to do well, but they are so shallow that there's really no room for the Word to take true root in them and get a good foothold or root hold, if you will. Some start quite well, but you know, the priorities get all screwed up and other things become more important than the things of God and the direction that God has for our lives. Rather than wanting to do what God wants us to do, we sometimes get another agenda and we follow our path and our will and the will of the world instead of the will of God. But at the same time, there are those who get it, and those who allow it to take root in their lives and who produce fruit for the kingdom of God, who are people with transformed lives of people who in turn share and have this loving witness of helping others to see the power and the difference that God can make in our lives as we open our hearts and our lives to Him. We're reminded of how both the good and the bad are here together. And if God were to take all the wicked people away, I guarantee you, it would deeply hurt loved ones who have made that commitment. You see, we're all intertwined, aren't we? In the same way that the weeds and the roots of the weeds intertwine with the roots of the wheat, so too are our lives. And God gives us the opportunity to grow together. Now, Jesus didn't tell us that the weeds had the opportunity to become wheat, but other places we get the gist of that. Just because we start badly doesn't mean we need to finish badly. There are those that are transformed and whose lives are changed all along the way. But for the sake of the parable, we're talking about the final choice, the final decision. Jesus talked of lost sheep, of lost sons, of one who rudely asks his dad for his inheritance early, spends it all, and then finally comes to his senses and offers to come back in humility as a hired servant, knowing that he is unworthy of sonship, and discovers a waiting father. But we also are given the picture of a son who is just as lost, who stays home, who is trying hard to be seen at least as the good one. Of like our kids, as they would say, am I being the good one now, Daddy or Mommy? And it affected the other one in the same way that it did in Jesus' parable. Except the one is saying, hey, I'm the good one, remember? Remember what he did? Remember all the mistakes he made? I didn't do that. I should get some slack. And all of us want some slack from God, don't we? We are reminded in so many parables of the kingdom of God that it is so important that it's like the pearl of great price or the treasure in the field that is so precious that it's worth everything that we have and more. And that God calls us to be sold out and fully committed, yielded to Him. We are told of the miracles of three persons who were actually raised from the dead. That of Lazarus, Jairus's daughter, and the son of the widow of Nain. We are reminded of how Jesus healed the eyes of the blind that they could see, and the lame that they could walk, the lepers, that the differences that He made in the lives. We remember of a Jesus who walked upon the waters of a stormy sea and even called his faithful Peter to come to Him, and even he takes those few steps before he realizes, this was not my wisest decision. I want to get back to the boat. Help, Jesus, save me. We remember all the signs and wonders throughout the Gospels. What a man. What a man was Jesus. But yes, more than a man. This was the Son of God who has come that we might have life in all its fullness, in all its joy, in all its wonder. And that we might have eternity with Him. We've been reminded from the outset of the story that God wants to have a relationship with us, that God wants to be with us and to have us with Him, that He loves us and He wants that. But He can't and won't, at least, come against our will. That we need transformed, changed. We need to make the adjustments, like the humility of the prodigal son, of the tax collector there in the temple who couldn't lift up his eyes, or in the synagogue, and just, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That God calls us in this amazing man, in this, the Son of God, who has given Himself for us and called us to this life in Him. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for Your love, for Your call. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes, and that, Lord, you would give us the courage and the strength, the commitment, all that is needed to be sold out, turned on fully to the Lord Jesus. May it be so. Amen.